as I got to the door, I said, "Damn it." And Ann said the same thing, and we turned around, we walked down the street, and we decided, no, we're going to come back. Had absolutely nothing to do with you and Ann speaking.
Okay, I'm just saying, see, I cannot understand.
That was the hump that broke the camel's back. It was a buildup of Ruth's pointer finger in my face, and the feeling of condescension. That's one last thing for you, right?
Well, I think my problem is maybe I'm very cautious in some ways, but I would be very, when I do blow up sometimes at men and get careless, because I don't care if I make mistakes with them so much. I mean, I would be afraid to do that with women because of the repercussions, and that's why I have to think now, what would have to have happened, or what, I would have to have something enormous motivating me, something, in other words, you know, a long, long, long list of very serious things, or something that just drove me wild to walk in and say those things. So that's partly, we identify
just
on that.
It was a buildup of several things. You want me to say what they are? You want me to tell you some of the things?
If you haven't already said
that. That would be clear if there was something.
Right. First of all, in the workshops, in the Friday night sessions, Ruth has a tendency to... And I said, to answer her question, I have absolutely never felt personally that, you know, her rage is aggressive and all this kind of thing. Not at all. Not at all. But only I felt, well, Ruth, that was not so wise to do it. Yeah, you should really watch yourself. You're intelligent enough to know, you know, and use a little bit of psychology for the different kind of people. How to behave, you know. But that's the only thing, because we all don't behave perfectly. You know, it's just one can really say, watch their words more better than others, and that's only one get have more peace with others or getting along better than others. I think that's the only way. Using the right psychology, you know, towards the individual. And that's really all I do. Criticize Ruth because it's for her own. It was for her own. That's really the trouble. Troubles a lot, I guess, because people misinterpret it.
Well, as far as Jesse, yeah, I question the seriousness mm-hmm. of some of the people in this workshop. Certainly, Jesse, I felt very strongly, did not belong here if she felt that women were not oppressed. And I stated it. And
yeah,
as I say, I find myself trying to have it.
Well, I mean, a number of people said it about her. It was not...
Yes, I realize it.
Only that true if you were asked directly, of course, you have no right to state that, you know. But in the moment, like, I mean, on the other hand, like, Jessie was involved in her own ways. Sure, the fact, we all knew that she was far out on that. And so therefore, you know,
we wasted
a smile at her, all right.
We wasted time with Jessie that, you know, what did we accomplish with it? Except waste all of our time.
Yeah, so what?
Okay.
Well, who else feels this about me?
That you're aggressive in the way you speak?
Condescending, that you don't like my manner of speaking.
Anne said you...
I step on... Now, it's gone from
stepping... Well, like tonight, yes, I feel like when you said that I was as good as an enemy, I felt hurt by your...
Well, that
what
was
you
said tonight.
And I think you have an aggressive way of speaking.
Aggressive is different from
condescending. And I'm interested
in making a value judgment, as she did, a political value judgment.
That's a point I would like to make, because I think that... I'm sorry.
I think you have a forceful way of speaking, but I don't think it's condescending.
Really.
I think that Ruth is such a sensitive person, and it takes such courage for her to come down strong on someone.
Alberto?
I've never had that relationship with you.
All right. In going around the table, I noticed it went from stepping on me with your language to condescending to not liking your manner of speaking to aggressive. And you talk about lonely. The times when I've made decisions, and you only make them alone, by yourself. And they're hard decisions to make. Saying that to you, Marie Cliff, because I believe it. I don't want to be part of an action again when anyone is there who thinks they'll sit it out if it's going to be successful, but question the tactics.
I didn't sit it out if it was going to be successful.
Well, your attitude toward that action. Now, this is the first time I've said such a thing to anybody in the workshop or in DOB. And frankly, I don't want you on an action with me.
I don't want to be on an action with you. You know,
all right, fine.
It's fine.
So I will. I certainly have been aggressive.
Like putting the center together, using her name. Like, it's like when I went around and spoke at the Catholic University, I said, anybody else want to be a star? You know, come on, bullets for everybody, come on down. People look, sort of stare at their shoes, right?
So how I would like to end this is that I find it very difficult to believe that it is only because I am condescending or somebody doesn't like my manner of speaking that I'm getting shit on, and I am getting shit on. And it's very hard for me to think that intelligent people dump distrust, calling me hypocritical, and all the rest, because I'm condescending. Now, you look around, you find somebody who isn't condescending, or aggressive, or has a manner of speaking that doesn't suit you personally, and trust that person. But right now, at DOB, this is where it's at, and DOB is going to get stronger. We're going to get more activist, if as long as I have anything to do about it. And I have to say again that as part of a feminist workshop, we could have spent so much more time learning tools.
Well, I think we did. I don't think you need to defend yourself as much as it would seem. I'd sort of hate to. Anne, did you want to say something more? You know, I've been very aware and conscious of my two situations. One, as an individual political person here, and as Ruth's friend. And I have, at each time, not permitted myself to act as her friend in that way, but to have been. To have tried to be objective. And this sort of, you know, one reason I would never go to the dances, and I always refused to, was I said, I don't want to dance with people when I think that maybe in something political they wouldn't be my friend, but they'd be friends with some music. I don't think it's just better. I think everybody here better hope they never have such a thing done to them. Is there anybody here who could stand being picked apart with trivia on other grounds? There is nobody here who could stand up to it as well, I think, being taken apart. So the point is that we have to start thinking, is why did it really happen? And at the end, I realized where I had felt it. When I went in the courtroom with Valerie Solanas, I was put on trial in now, the executive committee. So was Flo. I was the only person in the courtroom, except for Flo, who was her lawyer. I was president of New York Now. There was a command, attendance, right? And Flo just shoved it in the waste paper basket. But I went, right? And I had all these women that I'd worked with on committees and everything. Kate Millett, I remember Anselmo was there. many, many women. And they hammered away with the question, how could you appear in a courtroom with that woman? How could you do this? It was in the minutes that Kate Millett asked me 19 times if I wasn't sorry. And I kept saying, I'm sorry you're so upset. But someday you'll be glad somebody was there. And I felt the hate they had for me, and I couldn't seem, it was like you were caught in a whirl of things. And I felt later that was maybe the second time I cried in a woman's movement, that I had seen jackals for the first time. That, and I think we've seen it again. I'm not saying that Ruth doesn't have faults. I think that she probably keeps back some hostility. I think that there's a problem, and I don't know how it's solved, that DOP was no place. I say that because I was asked to speak there in 68, and I accepted and was very happy about it, and then the executive committee took back the invitation because they said it was irresponsible for feminists to speak to lesbians. Now, when Ruth asked me, when I was being on prostitution, I just said, you know, you better go back and check out with your people and all. And I noticed she was using her real name. And that had been a big thing, because in the executive committee of DOB, I didn't know that there were several of those same women in NOW, and they were the ones who vetoed my speaking at DOB. But they didn't use their names, and I didn't know what to do, because I thought, I don't want to make them unhappy. Okay. This center, getting this center, putting, I know that kind of energy, you get a few fanatics, and that's what it comes down to. You get 2-3 fanatics. So then it exists. And all of a sudden, when something exists, the picking starts like crazy.
I really resent having the implication that we are jackals and that we are picking on you for other reasons.
I'm saying I can't see justification for it given the faults of the other people in the workshop.
Okay, I'm not saying that you and the rest of us have faults. I have great admiration for what Ruth has done with DOB and for DOB, and I've said it to other people. I've been in conversations about DOB, and I have said, look what Ruth did, you know. And Ruth is certainly a lot, hell of a lot more out of the closet than I am, and I have great respect and admiration for that.
But she doesn't get told that. What she gets...
Well, I'm telling her right now.
But you forget, is this to erase Saturday Night?
No,
or you
it's
come
not
in
to
and say,
no.
We don't trust you,
no,
you're a hypocritic.
It's not to erase Saturday Night at all. It's not too recent at all. I'm concerned about the functioning of this workshop.
So am I.
And where the hell this workshop is going, and what the hell we're going to do, if we're going to do anything at all. And I think that we have to get to know each other. Like, I feel a lot differently about Ellen and Eileen now after things that they said about themselves tonight. And I feel a little bit differently about you. I don't think.
How
that
about
we can
T. Grace? Do you think you would trust her enough?
I never said I didn't trust you, Grace.
How
See,
about
the
you,
man? Wait a minute. Can we finish my thought? I questioned in the beginning whether or not we could just come in the workshop and talk theory and ideology without knowing each other, yeah. And now I'm really glad it's happened.
You are?
Yeah, because I feel that we know each other a little better. We understand, I think that we understand, we have a frame of reference for perhaps where things are coming from. Like, if Anne reacts in a certain way, we have a frame of reference for where that's coming, or if somebody says something, we understand better where that's coming from. You know? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
But in such an expression, I mean, the reason I kept on trying to stop it was I knew if certain things were said that I could never forget it. The violence that was there. It wasn't just a coming to know each other. And what I'm trying to deal with here is certainly, as Lou's friend, I wish she'd get the hell out of DOB. I really do. I just think it's not worth it, not worth all the shit she takes. Who needs it? And she can do more elsewhere. I think, though, that as an individual here, and what I've seen going on, it's, let's say, at best, it was an error. But it's easier to pick a target who, and I've seen it many times, who is either president, so-called leader, or what have you. It's always easier. And everybody kind of has reason, some reason, to deal with that person. And I hope that, I think that none of us here, if we were put on the spot, would have as little that could be said about them. And what it makes me wonder about is, what I was trying to get across in this workshop didn't quite make it. And we can talk about ways of expressing ourselves, but you want to talk about condescension. I mean, when you left, Marlene and Anne, I felt a rape had taken place. It was so much violence. That to me is of such I can't even add it up. I just can't add it up anyway. What people are saying, trying to juggle them. All I can see is something that I've seen before, which is sort of an irrational combination of outpouring on a target. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I don't defend the manner in which it happened, but as we've said many times before, it was a build-up of several things. I think that if it didn't come out then, and if all of this didn't come out now, that it just would have, the feelings would have spread out like cancer throughout the workshop. And to whom? To everybody. Because T. Grace sensed it, and she never said anything about it before, and it was going on, and nobody ever said anything about it before. Okay, and now it's out. From here now, maybe we can go on without this thing festering.
Do you really think we can go on?
Well, if it does, if it does, we've got to get it out right away and not let it fester.
You see, I think in order to get close to people, that doesn't mean you have to hurt them first. You have to accuse him first. And then by talking, by pulling it apart, you find, oh boy, you know, I really was wrong. Listen, now I'm your friend now after you have hurt the other person. I think that's not the right approach.
No, I'm not saying that.
And if you have that attitude, it will come back again with another situation, that you jump again at a point when you feel it's your right, you know. I just think that's not the right attitude. It makes it harder, even harder on understanding, because by apologizing, one cannot, if you really hurt deeply, you yourself probably feel that too, you cannot forget it up to the last minute and say, you know, it's all done, because it can't be really forgiven all the way through. Something stays and will carry on further.
I would like to say that I am not acting out of personal hurt feelings, because what happened Saturday, somehow, somewhere, if only you could explore your head, that was more than a personal attack on me. It had to have some implications other than the personal. You don't know me except at the workshop. You're not around DOB. We've had very little to say. each other?
Ruth, I remember the first time I ever laid eyes on you. It was a radical lesbian dance. Oh, no, it was a DLB dance at the Church of the Holy Cross. And I know who you, I knew who you were. I knew you were Ruth Simpson, person of the DLB. And I stood by the table, and I smelled at you, and I said, hi. And you looked at me like, you know,
I did?
Yes.
I apologize.
Okay.
She
never
does
that.
Jesus.
It's surprising. Ruth, I've never seen Ruth do that.
She stands up to greet every single person that comes in here.
I know. I see her doing it. And that's why, you know, I didn't understand why that happened.
Maybe she doesn't even realize she was looking at
it. And then when I started coming to the workshop, like, you know, it was hello, Marlene, with the hugs and the kisses. And I distrusted it. I don't know. I couldn't understand why.
Excuse
maybe
me, was that very late?
Was that very late when you were playing?
Look, talk about picking. I'm not.
No, you're a schmuck. Shut up.
I'm not going to say anything else because
no,
I
no, no. I'm saying you say about kissing like that. I understand that, but there, are, you know, like people when I saw that clawing kisses in New York Times, mm-hmm. I don't know why they.
Everybody's using.
I mean, it really.
Now.
It really. It was such a vicious thing because you knew that they were trying to welcome people. And the same way, like, you know, Ruth is certainly less that way, and I dare say getting less and less. But, you know, God knows we've said it.
There are still things that people haven't said, and I'm not saying anything.
But you're through?
But Marlene, why don't you?
Yeah.
No, because other people
well, I
have said
ask
things,
Ruth.
And they're not saying them tonight.
Well, I think
and
we've
I've
got to
said
get
plenty.
I want, if you don't want me on any actions with you, what is, then I don't think I should be on your board, because it's like you were saying the other night,
I think
it's
that's
like
a good idea.
President's executive.
I think that's a good
yeah.
idea.
It's like a president's committee.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea.
Goes for me too.
Pardon me?
I say it goes for me too.
All right. Do you want a written resignation, to send a written resignation, or do you want it to be verbal in front of the board, or what?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Convey our message, I think.
To the board?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Marlene, I think that these are the things that you know about. I think you should be in the
No.
Oh, this workshop
because I think that the other people that have said things should say them.
No matter what the cost,
and
if they're saying them outside, and no matter what it cost, you and Anne were very much, I gathered, in the middle of something. And what was very sad to me about Saturday night was that it sort of took you out of that position, and I thought that it was unjust because I thought that it was partly because other people were not saying the thing. And I think that if there was an injustice done in that sense, ultimately it's to you and Anne, because you act out of all of these things, but other people will not take the responsibility.
I think they have their own motivations. I don't think you can say, I mean, I think you're trying to say that Lynn or I were sort of
I don't know, I'm saying
them.
That if people are saying things, that God knows enough has been said, right? If people, certainly Marlene and Anne played the heavies and with a lot of cost, and if they say, I mean, Lynn, you certainly didn't say that much tonight. And Marika said a little more. I mean, if people are saying things.
I was
things,
asked to be quiet. I mean, it was, you know.
I didn't
four,
ask you,
you
to
did,
be quiet.
You said there were four other more people trying to speak.
But if you got some other things that weren't said, please say them.
No, I'd like to know if for instance, DOB goes on an action, since I'm a member, can I go on that action, or would you rather I didn't? Because if you'd rather I didn't, I won't go.
Of course, I was talking about a feminist workshop action.
Oh, feminist workshop, okay.
Well, then, as far as that goes, then I don't think that I should be in the workshop.
No, I don't think...
If you and T. Grace apparently think that I am destroying the workshop.
I think that you're not saying everything that you have said to other people. And if it is not you, I wish that Marlene would say it is not Len anyway, so that you're off the hook. Because I'm saying if you were saying things outside the workshop that is creating a situation or contributing to it, and you do not say these things here, that this is very unjust. And I'm saying, I don't know. I think that you may be. And I'm asking Marlene, if she is not, at least say she is not one of them.
Well, I got very angry last Friday because, number one, I felt hostility from Ruth, and I assumed that it was because I had suggested Tina for the board or for the board.
You didn't think about the Times Magazine thing at all?
No.
Look, Marlene keeps saying, I wish the people who had said these things would speak up. This is unfair to everyone here, that whoever it is, does he say, it was I, this is what I had to say. Talk about a cancer.
I told you, I just started talking about that. That's one of the things that I talked about.
You said that before, though. I gathered it was something new.
It was something new that Marlene is still being very bugged about.
And I brought up the idea that I thought that you dominated the conversation on the previous time.
On the March, Peace March.
Right. You know, you're talking about Linda Flying Hawk and the Peace March and the Bandy Show and the Women's March. And
Marlene, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you feel the air has been cleared?
No.
Not Marlene, completely. You were able to confront Ruth and hurt her quite badly. Can't you confront this other person with the information? It might make
them say anything else.
Bring it out, will you? I'm getting sick of this.
If it's me, I can't.
It's not only you, it's me too. But like, I've confessed most of my sins. I'm waiting, you know, like, for everybody.
But you know about somebody else, and that makes you upset, and I think you should say it now.
Who it is? It's me, it's Lynn, it's Maricla, it's Alberta, it's Ann.
Well, what's it saying?
Well, let's get it on the table, because my stomach is getting queasy, and I'm going to be sick, and the workshop is going to break up, and the whole place is going to blow up. Let's do it.
Do you all know what it is?
Nothing.
If there's something, you know,
I can't recall.
Get the rest.
I mean, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot in all these weeks. We've been through
all
a lot of
the workshop. All of us have felt, and we've mentioned it before, that there is Tigris Atkinson adulation and adoration.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up, because that should be discussed.
I thought that was old.
It is old. And
I thought we went over that when Jean...
Is that the thing that you were talking about?
Well, something
that
evidently was not...
I don't know what's going on. Did he have to say no? I don't adore you, no,
Well, it's not noticeable, generally speaking.
Maybe it isn't.
Well, yes, I do.
I really don't want to see the workshop destroyed. I really don't want to move it.
I think consciously none of us do, but maybe unconsciously we do. I don't know. It's something we've got to get down to. Maybe it is that every time we go to do something very serious and very political that we just cannot. And create all this shit just because we can. I don't know, but boy, it's a lot of shit.
And everything is so personal. It has nothing to do with...
It's too fucking personal.
It's so personal, yeah. We can't get over that.
And I see, Marlene, that you are saying that you really don't want Lynn and Marika to leave. You are still being sympathetic, supportive to them.
I don't want you to leave either.
No, but with all of this, you are... You didn't have to... say, still apropos of nothing that I can figure out in front of quite a few witnesses, that you and Anne didn't trust Lynn, you didn't trust Maricla, they were hypocritical. So what's the story? What's the story?
Yeah, she's saying that she does not feel that way about them, and she has about the rest of us.
And part of the reason that I don't feel that way about them is because I've gotten to know them better. If I got to know you better, which I said to you Saturday night.
You said that Saturday night?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but But to distrust somebody, you have to know them.
That's not necessary.
I don't trust Richard Nixon. I don't know him.
Well, close enough. Anyway, it's about the adulation. All I can say is there are a lot of things that go on around people who become known that has very little to do with them personally. And as far as adulation, there are a lot of mixed feelings and it has very little to do with me as a person. And usually I just try to avoid it because I know that it could turn fast. I don't think that what has gone on in the workshop, I think what's gone on in the workshop and the destruction of it has been, a very, clear statement on that. And I don't know what to say, except it keeps happening.
And in and out of love degrees very much. Maybe you get that feeling then.
You love Ruth
and degrees very much.
It's like you all love each other.
Degrees said something about an hour ago that for the first year and a half, tell me if I'm wrong in this, you said that you did not sometimes voice opinions until you had all the information.
I said that I was often, and that I was called down on that a great deal by Betty Friedan and other people for not speaking up. And other people said to me, don't you feel like you're being used as a pawn? In fact, Flo, very funny thing, Flo Kennedy said, what are you doing that workshop for? Don't you know that you're just being used as a pawn? And I just,
In what game?
Well, it's, as I said, it's all that adulation. there are a lot of stuff. Some stuff doesn't make sense. Some stuff you can see people are talking about. I'm just saying that a lot of the things people say, I've found out that while you have faults, many faults, that people very seldom point to the faults, the strong faults. One of my strong faults is not wanting to confront people and making value judgments. Because I don't like things to get ugly. I mean, obviously, I don't like emotional confrontation. But people very seldom accuse me of that.
And so that there was something else.
Yes. I said what?
That there's something else expressed from here that wasn't said.
I was anything. I just wanted to ask whatever you want.
You didn't know anything else?
No. I have a question. Does anyone feel like there's still any kind of a power structure that was once insinuated quite a while back? I think Jean brought that up, or tried to bring it up, like as if there was some kind of a structure that eventually put
worker
down.
Structure. Pardon me? There's a worker structure.
By
the workers.
Oh, I see, in terms of actually... I bring it out as a question because I knew that was... made very apparent when Jean presented her paper. I'm curious from that time on if anything.
Okay, the first thing I wanted to say is that, about the meeting problem, the last 4 years have really been catching up with me, and sometimes things have built up or I'm just totally wiped out, and I can't do the workshop in a meaningful way. So I'm sorry about that, but it's there's nothing that I can do about it. Anyway, two things. I'll go over some of the examples. But I think that people have gotten an idea, and to keep going in that direction on what theory should be, that it's laying out. I think that necessary and sufficient to help get this deal out. And I think doing the examples there, continuing with that element of logic, and moving into tonight some idea of what evidence is, what is the concept of evidence, which has to do with induction. Then, in addition to people doing examples, and from the stuff we're talking about, I think it'd be good if we had a project beginning, and one of them might be something on media. What is media? How is media relevant to, say, for instance, DOB? Because people learn most quickly and make the biggest strides when they're working on something that's meaningful, really meaningful. This has a certain simplicity to it. It's complex enough so that there will be a lot of discovery, but it's also, the structure of it is simple enough so that it can be a learning procedure too. Now when Anne Marlene come, I'll go over some of the examples, and those should be kept up, because in working on each person's errors, everybody learns from those mistakes and sees again how it should melt down common sense.
Okay, there's some papers.
No, I'm doing a little thing with myself.
No,
Mariko's coming. She's delayed again.
Yeah, well, see, I have Mariko's, and I wanted to go over that in some detail, but I don't want to until she's here. I think people have are getting the idea of deduction. And starting from that on theory, I think, was a good idea, first because any kind of structure or process of thought is so lacking in the movement. But the whole concept of evidence, and the concept is used constantly in the movements, but used so sloppily that it's incredible. In other words, when you say, all right, take an example, I'm sorry to use, an example. Mariko has something about Puerto Ricans. She has two premises and a conclusion. There are difficulties with it, but let's say, her conclusion anyway, is Puerto Ricans are seen as busboys, waiters, short order cooks, never as doctors, lawyers, brokers, etc. Now that is an inductive claim there, which she didn't realize she was, again, equivocating, and there was a change taking place without understanding it was a change taking place, and that's why using the variables is so important and reducing it, making sure what you're talking about, because you can make these slight changes that are crucial. In other words, the bottom falls out of your theory. Now, if you say Puerto Ricans are seen as busboys, waiters, short order cooks, never as doctors, lawyers, do you mean never ever? Do you mean not usually? If you say they are seen as this, what do you regard as a sufficient evidence for such a claim, for making a generalization? When we say, this is one of the terrors of consciousness raising, that you have a sample of 15 people, which is in and of itself totally inadequate, and probably, since they came together, on some basis, probably skewed and not representative of women as a whole. Now, so when you talk about any sort of statement, certain things you can prove, like the first statement here, it's in the wrong order, but I mean, this is a statement she has made. The latest wave of immigration into New York holds menial jobs. Now, the latest wave, you can check that out in terms of figures, that is, just in terms of gross immigration. When you say the latest, you could track that down, because you have broad figures. But when you say that they are seen as, already you're taking you're saying appearance as opposed to reality. You've noticed in your personal experience that a number of Puerto Ricans are such and such. So that this whole concept of induction that goes with deductive theories is extremely important. Now, you have people talk about women, then they shift to, one common shift is to say, well, poor women. Well, people talk about middle-class women. Well, what do you mean middle-class? Making a certain amount. Are they making that? Or often their husbands are making that. Does that make them middle-class? Would you say that a middle-class master's slave is middle-class? Osmosis. So again, evidence is very closely connected with definition. But this is obviously a very tricky problem with women. Like, say, for instance, much of the things I've been interested in to do with women have been naturally illegal and underground. For instance, abortion. It was very, very difficult to say how many abortions were being done, what the losses were, because it was all underground. And they'd say, of course, how do you know? Well, the church would say, I say 50 women die a year in the whole country. Somebody else would say 500,000. Well, I mean, how are you going to, you don't have any control group. Same thing with prostitution. Same thing with lesbianism. Same thing with any form of usually resistance. What is evidence? Then you have to say, what do you mean by Puerto Ricans? Do you mean born in this country? Born outside the country? Born outside the country and immigrated in. I don't think you could hold a statement never as doctors. That would be, never is a very strong statement. So that whole part would be challenged. A never is sufficient counterexample is one. You say never. You say usually. Again, you're talking in terms of probability. What is the ratio you're talking about? Many statements are made in the feminist movement about, well, usually such and such. Let's say, for instance, lesbianism. People say, usually you see a role playing. Well, there are many gradations of role playing. There's a lot of role playing that goes on in the feminist movement in terms of responsible, irresponsible, really hanging on to the femininity thing. I like to get ahead by, you know, whatever. That's very heavy role playing. So the people make these statements, and so people keep on saying, well, it's hard to tell. That's the conclusion. People say, well, who knows? But that's a rough one for us because there's been almost no studies done on women. Say, for instance, alimony. Not only have there never been any studies done, but you can't even get the figures together without going to each county courthouse. So you better believe that if it's of some interest and you don't find anything, you can be certain it's of great interest. So how can you make generalizations without evidence? And what is sufficient evidence? And over how large a sample? Now, in the case of women, you have oppression throughout the world. So if you're going to try and claim women universally, you're going to have to check it in other countries. And you could take a relatively small sample, perhaps, in other countries, but all of this would have to be carefully outlined so that if somebody sees a counterexample to your hypothesis or to your general proposition, that it could be accounted for within your inductive standard. Or you could tell quite quickly whether something was wrong with your standard or something was wrong with your proposition, and then you go and you have some idea of where to look for the problem, how far down it goes. It's like, well, it's almost like cancer, say. You could say that, you know, some kinds of cancer, they see it in one place, they can't tell how far it's spread, and they might cut, think they got all the malignancy. But if somehow it shows up or it seems to recur there, the chances are that they did not get down to the core of it and it's gone further, and they have some idea of how much deeper to go depending on where it shows up. If it shows up in a radically different area, the chances are it's much deeper into the system. So again, it's a test and adjust, test and adjust. But that whole concept